Today's shiur is Daf Pei Hei, and we're going to begin on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Again, we're discussing various subjects, as we would call them, how do you know, not necessarily related to Hilchos Shabbos. We know that there's an Isser in the Torah called Klayim. You're not allowed to mix different species, you're not allowed to plant different species together. Says the Mishnah, Menayin La'aruga, Shishisha Shisha Tvachim. How do we know that a small field, which is only the size of 6x6 Tvachim, Shazorim Betoycha Chamisha Zroinim, that in this small patch you could plant five different types of species and still not transgress this Aklayim? How will it look? So Dalet al Dalet Rucha is Haruga. You'll plant four on the four sides of the patch, and we have a picture in Rashi how this looks. The patch, you have four, this way Rashi learns the Gemara, you have four on the four sides, just not on the corners. So you have one on the right, one on the left, one on the top, one on the bottom. For achas, and one seed, the emtsa. Four rows and one seed in the middle. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, ki ka'aretz toitzi tzimcha, as a land sets forth its sproutings, and like the field gives out its seeds, zara loinemer, doesn't say seeds in the singular, elizrueha in the plural. And the Gemara will explain how we learn from this pasuk. So we just explain, as Rashi's diagram shows us, how these five seeds look. Tosfos says a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says in Shira Shirim, L'choyav karuga is habasam. So the Torah, the Shlomo HaMelech in Shira Shirim compares the aruga to the luchais, and Tosfos says that each luach was 6x6 tefachim. So that's how we know that in a area of 6 tefachim you could plant many seeds. The Maram automatically asks on Tosfos that what is Tosfos adding past what the Mishnah taught us? So the Maram says that what Tosfos is teaching us is that when somebody contracts with somebody else, that he's buying a patch, what is the size of a patch? Size of a patch, is 5x5. Another pshat, the Maram says, which is really the same, is that the Mishnah could have said, Menayin L'makam shishisha shisha tefachim. How do you know that a place that's 6x6 tefachim, you could bring five different seeds into it? Why does the Mishnah use the word aruga? So this answers the reason you bring the word aruga into the Mishnah is because the pasuk uses the word aruga. But there's a very nice explanation from the Chasam Sofer in Tosfos. He says, you know, there were two luchos. Each luach, we said, was 6x6 tefachim. Each luach from the first had a corresponding luach to the one on the second one. So the first one had loy anoich Hashem l'kecha. What is the corresponding one on the second luach? Loy sirtzach. You come to the third one on the first luach, it's loy sisa. What is the third dibur on the second luach? Loy signif. In our Mishnah, what is the difference between the middle seed and the ones on the side? The one seed in the middle is just one seed, as we'll explain in the Gemara. The ones on the side are rows. The way we're teaching is like signai, even on one seed, there's an issa geneva. There's a machloikis Rashi in Tosfos, where klayim applies. Rashi says that klayim applies in a vineyard, kalei akerem. Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos in the Amid, immediately disagrees with Rashi, and he says that Kloyim certainly are not limited to Kali Kerem. He's very bothered how Rashi can make this statement that Kloyim are limited to vineyards. And many Rishonim, Achroinim, say different answers to Rashi's statement. Some Rishonim say that what Rashi means is as follows. In Kloyim, there's two Isurim. There's one Isur to plant Kloyim, and there's one Isur to maintain Kloyim. They say what Rashi says, that there's no Isser by other meaning besides vineyards, is on the Isser of maintaining. but the Isser of planting will certainly apply both to grape and to other seeds. Another answer they give is that by Kalei Kerem, it's also even if you plant them at separate times, as long as you end up with a mixture of two different species. Masha'enkein, by other meaning, by vegetables, it will only be if you plant them at the same time. It's called b'mapoilus yad, in one seeding. Another teretz they give is that Rashi will agree that klayim is not limited to grapes, but he will say that vegetables don't have klayim midaraisa. There are other answers, but that's just to give you a taste. So, let's describe this picture, because we're going to spend a lot of time today speaking about this. What happens here is, we look at Rashi's diagram, we have four rows along the perimeter, and one in the middle. What does that accomplish? What that accomplishes is as follows. And this is the way the Ritva explains the Gemara. There are two ways of, you have to have two problems to have an Issa Klayim. You have to have either Iruv, that the different species are mixed together, and you also have to have that they're yoinit, that they nourish together. As soon as you don't have both problems, you're okay. So the four rows, given that you have the corner empty, are distinct. Once they're distinct, you don't have Iruv, you have no problem of klayim. The one in the middle is already not distinct. So now you have a problem of Iruv. So how do you prevent the problem of Iruv? If they don't nourish together, then you're fine. What is the shear of nourishment? The shear of nourishment is a tefach and a half. So if you'll have this seed in the middle, you will have three tefachim from any other row. So even though you may have a concern of Iruv, of mixing up, since you have three tefachim separation, you do not have common nourishment, and once you don't have common nourishment, you don't have a problem of klayim. That's the way the Ritva explains the Gemara. Now Tosfos says a few points, that the Tosfos in Taf Pei Hei Yam and Aleph. Firstly, Tosfos says, if you really wanted, you could have had nine. He gives you a cheshbon, you could have nine. Have one in the corner, one in each corner is four, one in the middle is five, and then have one in the middle of each side. So you'll have altogether nine, not just five. So Tosfos says, why don't I say nine instead of five? So Tosfos says, if you're going to do that, there's a great concern that if the things in the corner start growing as they approach the middle of each side, you're going to have Iruv. That's why the Mishnah didn't want to give you that Eitzah. Another reason the Rishayim give, the Ramban gives this reason, it's a very practical answer, is in this picture of the Mishnah, we at least have four decent rows. The one in the middle is not decent, but the one on the side, at least decent rows. In that approach, where you're going to have nine little pieces, you won't have any one decent row. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah quoted a pasuk that from that pasuk I learned you could plant five different seeds in this patch of 6x6. Ask the Gemara, my mashma. How do I know from this pasuk that you could have five different seeds? Amar Yehuda. So Yehuda explains the pasuk. The pasuk says, ki ke'aretz toitzi tzimcha, as the earth gives forth its seed, toitzi is chad, is one. Tzimcha, its seed, is one more. Harei trei. Zru'eha, its seed, which is plural. The minimal of plural is trei. Harei arba. Tatzmich, it will set forth, is one more. Harei chad, is one more. Harei chemish, you have a total of five. And the Pnei Yeshua says, so we need the entire pasuk to teach us that you have five. From our Mishnah, it says that the word that counts is Ru'eha. Here we're saying that the whole pasuk is relevant. So Pnei Yeshua says, once we have the word Zru'eha on the pasuk, that word indicates that we're dealing with more than one seed, that gets us to think how many seeds I'm talking about. But if I wouldn't have any pasuk, any word in the pasuk indicating a plurality, I wouldn't know how to use this pasuk to teach me that you have many seeds in this one field. Says the Gemara, the Kimlo l'Rabbanan, Chazal taught us, the Chamisha b'shita l'yanki, that if you have five seeds in this area of 6x6, you don't have to worry of layanki madad, you don't have to worry of cross contamination. Now, all the Rishonim asked the obvious question: what should have a Kimlo Rabbanon? Because the Gemara asks, the Kimlo Rabbanon. How do we know? So they all ask, what do you mean, how do you know? All of a sudden today, in Masech the Shabbos, Daf Pei Hei, you're asking, how does Chazal know? All of Shas is based on what Chazal tell us. You can't just, all of a sudden we're going to say, Menolan Hod Kimla Rabbonim Milsihi, that if Chazal make a determination, it counts. Of course Chazal make a determination, it counts. Otherwise, what are you learning Gemara for? So, I think that's really what's bothering Taisus. And what, the way the Mefarshim explain is like this. The Shar Mitzvah Balach explains it this way, and it's very relevant to all of Shas. Chazal could tell us dinim. Here, the din they're telling us is a very relevant din. Climb is something that we need to know. But the din that they tell us has to have a basis in reality. So, if we're going to tell you a din, and we're even going to bring psukim to base that din, we can't just say, okay, I have a din, and you have to accept it. If the reality contradicts the din, what we want to show is that every din Chazal taught us has a basis in reality, in the agricultural reality. Dom Rav Chibar Abba Om Rav Yochan, the pasuk says, "My deksiv loisase gvul reecha, don't encroach on the boundary ashegavlu rishonim that the early ones made. Gvul shegavlu rishonim, the boundary that the earlier generations made." Loisasik, you can't encroach on my, and what that means, at least that's the way Rashi explains, is that the earlier generations established for us what is permitted and what is not permitted, and we can't encroach on that. Tosfos, interestingly, learns a very bechiddush. Tosfos says that if somebody plants klayim, so we're used to saying that if somebody plants klayim, he's over the lav olay sizra klayim. Tosfos says what the Gemara is teaching us here is that if somebody plants klayim, he's over another lav. He's over the lav of leisasig, which we really usually mean that you're not allowed to go over somebody's boundary. And here the Gemara is saying is that using klayim is also over the lav of leisasig. So the question is, so how come if somebody plants klayim, asked Tosfos, you don't get two times Malkus? You should get Malkus once for Leisizer Klayim and once for Leisasik. So Tosfos says two answers. One answer is that we have a rule in Masech the Malkus that a lav shebeklolus, a lav that encompasses many different subjects, you don't get Malkus. So since this lav Leisasik talks about encroaching somebody's boundary and Klayim, so it's a lav shebeklolus, and that's why you don't get a Malkus for it. Another answer Tosfos gives is, you don't get Malkus for something that you can return. If I encroach on your boundary, it's nitinli yishoven. I could go back. Any lav that's nitinli yishoven, there's no Malkus for. Ask the Shalom Eshev, that's good if I go over your boundary. If I move your boundary over, then I do tshuva, I move my boundary back. But if I plant klayim, how is it possible to do tshuva? The answer is, you can rip out the whole klayim, and even if I did it in your field, I'll pay you for what I made you lose. So the Gemara says, my govlu rishonim, what does it mean that the early generations established? Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, diksiv. Eile b'nei Seir hachayri, these are the children of Seir. Seir we know is Esav. Yoishvei ha'oretz, they live on the land. Ask the Gemara, Otakula alma yoishvei kinenu, does anybody live on the sky that the pasuk calls them yoishvei ha'oretz? So the Masha asks a very simple question. We have many times in Chumash the words yoishvei ha'oretz, and you don't find that the Gemara should ever ask, why does the pasuk say yoishvei ha'oretz, so they live in the heaven? All of a sudden today the Gemara is asking this question. So the Masha answers very nicely. He says, usually when the pasuk says yoishvei ha'oretz, they identify the land. These people lived in this country, yoishvei ha'oretz ahi. So if you live in that country, so I understand why it's called the Oretz. We're identifying a country. But here, the pasuk identifies the people, but they don't identify a land. They say yoishvei ha'oretz, they live in the world. So the Gemara's question is very legitimate. Everybody lives in the world. If we're not identifying a specific place, why they're called yoishvei ha'oretz? Says the Gemara, you know what their specialty was? El shayibikin b'yeshuva shal oilam. These people were experts in agriculture. She'omrim, they were able to tell you, malakan ezel ezayis, this field is good to plant an olive in. Malakan ezel gefanim, this field is good to plant grapes in. Malakan ezel lata'enim, this field is good to plant figs in. So since they were such great experts, they were also experts how much you could put into a small area and not be overclimbing. The Chayri, and they had another talent, Shemarichim es Aretz, that they were able to smell the land, and also by smelling the land they could understand what this land potentials was. The Chivi, the Gemara said they were also called Chivi, and like Taisha says, Chivi does not mean the Chivi from the Shiva Ammin, one of the seven nations that lived in Eretz Canaan, that lived in Eretz Yisrael. Here it means a different nation. Means it's a description of the Bnei Tzir. Amra Papa Shoyi Taminus Aretz Kechivya. They were able to taste the earth like a snake. We know, as it says in Parshas Bereishis, that a snake eats sand. These people were able to touch, to taste the sand, taste the earth, and by tasting the earth, they were able to identify what you could do with it. Rav Achba Yaakov says Chayri doesn't mean that they smell the land. He says Chayri means Shinasa b'nei Chayri b'nechseyim, that Seir overtook this property, their land, and they became free from it. But bottom line, where we up to? Where we're up to is that in this area, we go back to the diagram in Rashi and the Mishnah, in the small area of 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim, you could bring in 5 different seeds and not be concerned for klayim, because you won't have not eruv, you won't have a situation that they're mixed together, or there won't be an issue of common nourishment. Says the Gemara, Omer of Asi, Aruga Toichavov Chutz Megvuleho. Says Rav Asi, or Rashi says it's Rav Ashi, when we talk about this patch is 6 without the walkway around it. That means you have to live a border where you can work, because you need at least 6 tfachim to be able to plant these 5 seeds and not have a problem of klayim. If you're going to have an area of 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim, and you're going to have to deduct from that area place to walk, you won't have enough area to be able to bring in the middle seed. Tanya nami hachi, aruga toichashisha. When we speak about a patch in our Mishnah, in our Sugya, it's talking about a patch that the patch itself is 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim without taking into consideration its border. Ask the Gemara, Gvula Bekama, how much area do you need for the border? Says the Gemara, Ketnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Reichiv, the width of the border is Kamale Reichiv Parsa, the width of a foot. Of a person's foot, which we'll see in a minute, means a tefach. Omer Rav Zeir Vitaim Rav Chanina Bar Papa, my Tamid Rav Yehuda. What's the reasoning for Rav Yehuda that says that you leave a border of a tefach? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Chumash, V'shkiso b'raglecha k'gan hayerek, you will water the field like your foot. So what's your foot have to do with your with the field? To teach us, ma regel tefach, the size of the average foot, that means the bottom part, is a tefach, the way we step, af gvul nami tefach, so too should the border be a tefach. And Tosfos explains that really Rabbi Yehuda, who says this din about something being a tefach, does not say his din in regards to this halach of gvul. He says his halacha regarding separating areas. What is considered a separator? And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Klayim that it's a tefach. But Taisa says from what Rabbi Yehuda says over there, that a legitimate separator is a tefach, we learn that that would also, why is that a legitimate separator? Because that's the amount of area you need to stand to work on your field. That's why over here a tefach is enough. Also, interestingly enough, the Rishonim point out that if you look at the Mishnah Masechta Klayim, there are Tanoim that argue in Rabbi Yehuda that say different Shurim than Rabbi Yehuda. So why did Al Gemara pick Rabbi Yehuda's Shir? So there's two answers the Rishonim give. One answer is because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Shir of a Gvul is a Tafach. Another reason is because Rabbi Yehuda is the first Tana that's mentioned in the Mishnah. And what we're trying to say is, look at that Mishnah, and whatever Shurim you'll find in that Mishnah, those are the Shurim you should also apply to this Gemara. Begins the Gemara. Amarav, Aruga Bechor Veshanina. Says Rav like this. Let's look at, again, we're going to have to work with all the diagrams we have here, as good or as bad as they are. We have the diagram in the Mishnah. The diagram in the Mishnah showed us how I have this patch of 6x6, and I was able to bring 5 different seeds into it. Now, imagine this diagram on the first diagram on the Rashi and Pehei Yom and Aleph. That means, instead of just having one patch like this, you have 9 patches like this. And you want to have them all planted like this. It wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? Because you would have patches parallel to each other without the amount of space separating. Since you would have them right next to each other without the amount of space needed, you can never plant that way. So says Rav, when we're talking in our Mishnah and our Gemara about a patch, it's talking about an isolated patch that's standing by itself, not amongst other patches, because if they're amongst other patches, these long patches along the sides would be a problem. Aruga b'charim shenina. Ask the Gemara, I have an Eitzah. Why do I have to immediately say that the only way I can learn the Mishnah is when I'm dealing with one isolated patch, which means like this, the first diagram in Rashi on this Amud. Instead of, ask the Gemara, planting all of the sides, all the way up, and all the way across, and then you'll have a problem that you'll have patches, you'll have rows, one right next to each other. Let's take the top two right patches. Use them. On the most right one, plant on the left only halfway. And then second to the right, plant on the right only halfway. So you don't have any patch near each other. So instead of just telling me, ask the Gemara on Rav, that you only can have this Eitzah when you have one patch, true, you won't be able to plant all the way down, all the way across, like you can in the Mishnah, when you have one isolated patch, but just don't make a statement that there's nothing you could do when you have many patches together. There is an Eitzah, the picture that we have in Rashi. Answers the Gemara, Amri Berei Rav, Mishmei the Rav, B'Memalias Kronos. And most Mepharshim say that this picture on the bottom of Rashi is really incorrect. What the Gemara is saying is, the Rav says that we're talking about a person that wants to plant the entire row. Not just like Rashi has like spaces in between. Since you want to plant the entire row, you're going to have a problem where you can't have one patch next to each other. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. What are you doing? You have a bunch of patches next to each other, and you're interested in planting an entire row. So what do you accomplish by planting an entire row? Accomplish nothing. So you can't plant anywhere around it. Aren't you better off, asked the Gemara, the Lizrimer of Roy, plant like the upper picture in Rashi, where you'll have in every patch something planted, V'loy Limli Megavoy, instead of doing any one row full. But what will you accomplish? That you'll have every row planted, every patch planted. True, you won't have any patch with a full row because of the problem that we identified, but you'll have something, and you'll have even 5 seeds in every patch versus doing nothing. Answers the Gemara, different reason. You know why I don't like, says Rav, Rashi's picture, this option, because Gzeirah Shem Yimalas Kronos. What am I concerned? In the first picture on Pehei Yom and Aleph, what's crucial is that you can never plant more than a half a row at a time. Because if you're going to plant more than a half a row, you're going to have 2 rows right smack next to each other. What I'm concerned is that you're only supposed to plant a half a row, but you're going to plant more. And going back to the two that we picked out, the two top right ones. If on your left side of your most right one, and if the right side of your next one, you're going to plant more, then you will have a problem with klayim. Since we're concerned that you're not going to be careful, that they don't meet, so that's why we said don't do anything. Ask the Gemara, why are we concerned about that? Why is this worse? And here we have a diagram in Rashi also. Rashi shows us a triangle. The halacha is, Mishnah Masechta Klayim also, that if you have one field going into another field, like a triangle, and it goes back to something that we said a few times at the beginning of the shiur. What is the Isser of Klayim? The Isser of Klayim is that you have to have a hecker. There's now, it has to be obvious that these two species are segregated. That's what's crucial. So as long as you are able to identify that, it's mutter. So, and we don't say that we're worried that, and therefore, let's explain the halach of Rosh Taryarik and then we'll explain the Gemara's Kasha. Therefore, you have one field coming to a point, even if it penetrates the second field of a different species, it's not considered klayim. Why is it not considered klayim? Because it's obvious that it's two different species, even though one is entering the other one. So here, and we don't start making gzeiris. You know what? If you're going to make one, if you're going to end up with a Rosh Taryarik, if you can end up one penetrating the other field, maybe it's not going to be in the form of a triangle. Maybe it's going to be like a regular one, and it'll be usr. We don't make these gzeiris. As long as what I have in front of me is separate, noticeable, different, it's good enough. So why does the Mishnah Masechta Klayim say that I don't have to worry as long as it's obvious that it's two different species? And all of a sudden now, by these different patches, we're starting to worry that it won't be noticeable. V'loyhei el rosh tayerik. Why is this worse than the triangle? Miloy tnan. Didn't we learn a Mishnah in Masechta Klayim? Hoye rosh tayerik nichnas l'toich sar de'acher. If one species that was formed in the shape of a triangle enter another field, mutter. Why is it mutter? Because it's obvious that this is the end of one field, and it's a different species and a different field than the one it's entering. And all we need is that it should be obvious that there's no eruv, that there's no mixing up. So why isn't it good enough here? Answers the Gemara, Ein Rosh Tar Baruga. Which means like this, that when do I say that it's obvious that it's two separate fields? When you have a big field and it's planted with one species, and then you have another big field planted with another species, and the big field, huge area, enters into the other one with this shape, with this triangle, so anybody seeing it could see that you're looking at two separate fields. So it's obviously not klayim. However, what are we talking about in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we're talking about a row. That's what we're talking about in our sugya today. A row is very insignificant, and it's therefore not that noticeable. And as we've been learning in the whole shiur today, to avoid the issa klayim, you have to make a situation where it's not noticeable. It's very hard to accomplish not noticeable with just a row, or the way we're learning now with a half a row. That's why we're more machmer in this case than we are in the case of Rosh Tar. Shmuel, says the Gemara, disagrees. The simple way of learning the Gemara is Shmuel disagrees with Rav. V'Shmuel Amar Aruga ben Aruga Sheninu. Our Mishnah could even be talking when you have one patch amongst many patches. Ask the Gemara if it's one patch amongst many other patches. V'Kamis Avi Ba'Dadi. These two rows, like we've been explaining all along, right next to each other, are going to get intermingled. So how could Shmuel be Mekel? And so the Gemara, benoit the shur lekan, b'shur lekan. When a person is careful, there's a few ways of learning this Gemara. When a person is careful to keep each row separate. So the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara is what Shmuel is saying is, take the diagram of Pehei and Aleph, the first diagram, and use that. I, Rav, said that we're worried that if you're going to take that diagram, which requires you only to plant half rows, you're going to plant a whole row. Shmuel is not concerned with that. So basically, the simplest way of learning the Gemara, the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is, if I plant a half a row, which is the most I'm allowed to do, because if I go past that, we're going to have a problem of climb, do I have to worry that the person is not going to be careful and let it go past the half a row? Shmuel is not concerned, Rav is concerned. Continues the Gemara. No, for the farmer. Like scissor climb. You're not allowed to plant a climb. You're not allowed to plant. He's not allowed to plant a climb. Amma Ula. Continues Ula. Bob Marava. In Netzisrael, they asked the following question. Hifgia tlem echor apnei kulamahu. So let's explain this question. Let's go back to the diagram in the Mishnah. When we look at the diagram in the Mishnah, there's one very obvious problem with this diagram. There's nothing wrong halachically with the diagram, but there's one practical problem with the diagram. We have in the middle of this patch one seed planted, which is not really very valuable. Who's planting one seed? So what in Eretz Yisrael they wanted to accomplish, practical people, they wanted to accomplish, is there a way that we could plant in the middle more than one seed and still avoid the Issa climb? So they came up with an idea. What was the idea they said? What have we, and the beauty of the way we've been learning the Shia today is everything follows one Shita. What do we say we have to accomplish? What we always have to accomplish is that there shouldn't be Eruv, that there should be a Heker. It should be obvious that this is a distinct, different area than everywhere else. So after the Gemara, I have a way of planting a whole row in the middle, and if you plant a whole row in the middle, how am I going to tell that it's different than the rows on the sides? Take the row in the middle and dig it deep. So if somebody sees this row in the middle, he's going to realize that it's a distinct area from the rows on the perimeter, because the rows on the perimeter aren't dug deep, and this one is dug deep. So what are we looking to accomplish? A hecker? I got a hecker by digging deep. And what will I have accomplished? That I don't have to plant just one seed, I can hope plant the whole row in the middle. Bob Marova, they asked in Eretz Yisrael, Hefkia tlem echad apnei kulay. If I dig it, and then can I go apnei kulamau, and then I can go along the whole length or the whole width, will it work or not? Amrav Sheshes, Ba irva vitalas ashur. No, this will be considered intermingling, and it won't work. Rav Ashi Omar, this will not be considered intermingling, and it will be fine. So according to Rav Ashi, we just came up with a great idea. Dig, and by digging in, you don't have to have one seed, you could have a row. Ask Ravina to Rav Ashi, how could you say to me that digging one row will be adequate? There's another Mishnah Masechta Klaim. The Mishnah says in Masechta Klaim, Anoteya Shtei Shur Shel Kshuim. If somebody plants two rows of cucumbers, Shtei Shur Shel Deluim, two rows of melons, Shtei Shur Shel Pulam Mitzri, two rows of beans, Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because since each row is each species is a respectable amount, you have two rows of each min, so therefore it's distinct, you don't have a problem with Klaim. However, Shura achas shel kshuim, if you only have one row of cucumbers, shura achas shel deluim, one row of melons, shura achas shel pulam mitzri, one row of beans, osur. So you see that one row doesn't work. So why all of a sudden, asked the Ravina Rav Ashi, are you telling me that one row, just dug deep, is enough? There you see that they also planted one row, and it won't do the trick to be considered separate and distinct. Answers the Gemara, shani hacha de ikishracha. Which means like this. There we're dealing with vegetables that have very long leaves. So if you have very long leaves and only have one row of every species, it's just going to look like one big mishmash. And that's why it's usur. Here we're dealing with vegetables that are not that leafy, don't have these things going all over the place. And that's why Rav Ashi held that if you dig it deep, it'll be mutter. Continues the Gemara. Again, what's the point of the Gemara as we go further? We have a very big problem with the diagram of the Mishnah. Again, not a halachic problem, a practical problem. The problem is you have a lot of wasted space. You have four rows along the side, you have one little seed in the middle, and then you have all this wasted space in the middle. And we know real estate is expensive. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, comes up with a way how to give you more, to get more out of your space. Again, there are a lot of ways of learning this Gemara. Just understanding the Gemara is good enough. We're going to use for this, even though that's not exactly what it means, but just to be able to visualize this Gemara, the diagram, the upper diagram in Tosfos. Says the Gemara, on Peihei on the base, Arav Kahana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haroitzel Lamalois Kol Ginasa Yerek. Instead of using the approach of the Mishnah, which will leave you with a lot of empty space, you want to fill up your entire garden with growth. Oisa Aruga Shisha Shisha, take your patch, which we've been explaining since we learned the Mishnah, is the size of six tvachim by six tvachim. V'oigelba Chamisha, take and make a circle. You see the circle in Tosfos? You take that circle, fill it up with one min. Then you'll take, so you have one species. Then you'll have four other species along the perimeter, the four rows. That's the same as the Mishnah. And you'll fill up the entire patch with different minim. Why are you allowed to do this? Because since the species in the middle is in a circle, the species on the side are in rows, whether the vertical or horizontal rows. So they're obviously different. And like we've been saying the whole shiur, as long as it's obvious that they're different, you don't have a problem with klayim. The only area that in this diagram you won't be have any planting is in the little area on top, on the right and the left, the top of the circle, till the row, which is very insignificant compared to everything we've been talking today, that you have so much empty space. Into the Gemara again. Take your patch, which is 6 by 6, make a circle of 5, that the diameter is 5, and on the sides you can do whatever you want. Ask the Gemara, if you have a bunch of patches like this, lined up next to each other, like we had in Amun Aleph and Rashi, you had a bunch of patches next to each other. If you're going to have the rows, you're going to have a problem. You have one row next to the other row, which we learned will be a problem. And says the Gemara, Amud Bei Rabbiana, you're right. The area between the rows, B'machar Bein and B'nayim, you're going to have to leave fallow. Ravashi, again, Ravashi is concerned for real estate. He doesn't want to have any empty space, or he wants to have the minimal amount of space empty. He says, I have a way how you could have two rows next to each other and still plant. What do you do? Im hayizruin shesi, if one row is planted vertically, zayin erev, plant the other row horizontally, or vice versa. Erev, zayin shesi. Why? Again, the way we've been learning the whole shiur. The point here is just to have that the person who's looking at this field, as soon as somebody's looking at this field, sees that these are distinct fields, distinct areas, there's no longer a problem of climb. If one row is planted horizontally, one row is planted vertically, it's already obvious and it's good enough. Aisvei Ravina Ravashi, avoid this yerek, be yerek achad, if you want to plant a field with different types of vegetables, shisha tfachim, you have to have a patch of 6 tefachim, as we've been learning since we learned the Mishnah. V'rayinai say, ketavlim rubas. And it has to be planted like a square. So what's the diuk? Ketavlim hudashari. Dafka, when it's planted in the formation of a square, as we learned in the Mishnah, that's when you could bring all these different types of species into one patch. Halav hachi asr. If it's not planted as a square, it'll be aser. But Rabbi Yochanan just taught us that you could do it in the form of a circle. What's going on here? Answers the Gemara, Avadi could do Rabbi Yochanan's Eitza, of planting it like a circle. But if you plant it like a square, you'll have one more kula. If you remember, on top of that Peihei of Mabez, we learned there's another kula, the kula of Rosh Tar. That if one field ends pointy, even if it penetrates the field next to it, we don't have a problem with klayim. Says the Gemara, the only time you could have that kula is when the field is planted in a square. That means you have three sides, that are straight, and then the top one goes like a point. But if something is planted like a circle, you won't have the heter of Rosh Tar. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. Of course Rabbi Yochanan's Eitzah will work. The only thing that Rabbi Yochanan's Eitzah won't do for you is give you the opportunity to use the heter of Rosh Tar. Says the Gemara, Hasum l'kula b'kula achrina. When you planted like a square, you accomplish one more leniency. Lahat Rosh Tar yotze menu. But the heter of Rosh Tar is only available when you plant it in a square shape, not when you plant it in a circle shape. But of course, planting a circle shape using the Eitzah Rabbi Yochanan gave, as we described it, will certainly be mutar al-pi halacha without a problem of climb.